is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for September 30th, 2016. And welcome to Rogue Talk, and we got a pretty good show here for you today. I've got a couple of new friends you're going to meet later on in the show that are representing the FFA program at Rogue River High School, so I'm excited to have them here on today's show. And so we're going to move into some things of local interest here. Let's jump right into some sports scores for the last week for the Rogue River Chieftain teams. And, of course, if you didn't listen to the game or you didn't get out to the game, the football team lost a tough one. They hosted Gold Beach last Friday. Final score 46-0. And we were without Mike in the truck for that game, so I'm blaming him for the fact that the Chieftain didn't score. So hopefully he listens tonight so they can get back on the scoring side, and maybe he could clone himself and get five more of him, and then we could have enough scores to win a game tonight. Of course, I'm not sure what his wife would think about five of him around the house, but nonetheless, the Chieftains could use some more offense tonight. So any way we can get that, we'll try and get that done. So that game will be tonight. Again, they will take on Bonanza at 7:00. We'll go on the air at 6:50 here on the Bridge. But if you can get out to the stadium, definitely get out and cheer on those Chieftains and see if we can get them their first win of the season. Moving over to volleyball action in the last week, the volleyball girls with three different matches in the last week. On Saturday, they participated in a tournament at St. Mary's, and the only game, I don't know if they played more than one game. I couldn't get to talk to anybody with the team before I got to the station today, but according to the OSAA site, it looks like they lost a game to St. Mary's. Two sets to one, so apparently they're playing best of three for the tournament, which would not be unusual if the tournaments could run for from dusk to dawn or dawn to dusk or whatever you want to say, if they went full five sets for every single tournament match. So Saturday they lost 2-1 to St. Mary's. Tuesday they hosted Riddle and lost a close one, three sets to two. So Riddle the winner in that one. And then last night, they hosted Lakeview in a match that started late. The Lakeview team's bus broke down on the way here, and so that one started a little later than scheduled. But Lakeview was the victor in that one, 3-1. So kind of a tough week for the volleyball team. They'll be looking to bounce back. And at the end of the show, we'll have the schedule for all the next week's games coming up. Moving to girls soccer, the girls with a couple of close games, but both in the losing column. Both of these games were played at Beck Field. Last Saturday, they lost a 4-0 game versus Lakeview. And then in their last game, and I didn't write it down here, but I believe that was on Wednesday, they hosted Illinois Valley and lost a heartbreaking 1-0 game. And For the casual soccer watcher, that's one of those games that it's like, whoa, this is slow. But you know, a lot of times those are the most exciting ones, and so they'll be looking to bounce back after a couple of losses. And then moving to boys soccer, the one thing of note for the boys soccer team is the Rogue Talk mascot, otherwise known as my son Cameron. His season has ended, and he didn't get to participate in the last game, and he might be a little bit glad about that one. It was their first loss of the season, and it was a tough one. They went to U.S. Cellular Field and took on St. Mary's, who had previously, well, they had lost only one league game. Chieftains had been undefeated, and St. Mary's really laid the wood on them. And final score on Wednesday night was 7-0 St. Mary's. So that was a tough one. And last Saturday, they won, continuing their undefeated record previous to this game on Wednesday. They beat Illinois Valley on Saturday 9-1. So a little hiccup there. Hopefully the boys will turn things around and get back in the winning column. They will be taking on Lakeview tomorrow. So hopefully they can bounce back from a tough loss. And getting back to Cameron, our Rogue mascot, he had missed a game, I believe, just one game with an ankle injury. Then he came back and appeared in two games. Didn't play in one of them. Still kind of nursing that bad ankle. He was dressed but didn't play. Then played in another game, and then he's missed the last couple with an illness. And he's going to be out the rest of the season. Nothing super serious, but he's not allowed to play for 4 weeks. So he's a little bummed about that. And one of the reasons I mention him is we're hoping to have him on the show a little bit later. We'll kind of making a thing out of his football picks. And so we're hoping to get him on toward the end of the show to do that again. And so that gets you updated on the high school sports. Another thing kind of related to the sports and to the high school, I wanted to point out that there is a community service project available. If you would like to volunteer to help out, the manager at Lowe's in Medford is John Spaeth is the father of a couple of kids at the high school, and he's the manager over there. And he put in for a community service project. Lowe's provides these community service projects the different stores can apply for, and the one that they had planned on doing fell through. And so John was able to secure this project for the school. And what they're going to be doing is refurbishing the bleachers over at Beck Field. Apparently there was a little incident. I don't know if it was over the summer or recently with one of the boards on the bleachers failing. And so it came to the attention of all the people involved that those were, you know, not portions of those bleachers were not safe. And so they took them out of service. And of course, as a parent of a kid on one of the soccer teams, I had been over there and we were kind of wondering what happened to the bleachers. And I had gone into Lowe's with my wife and we ran into John and he told us about that. And lo and behold, Sunday at 8 a.m. over at Beck Field, they will be refurbishing the bleachers. So if you've got some time on Sunday morning, and you might even be able to put in an hour or so before you head to church on Sunday, I'm sure they could use as much help as they can get. And I don't have all the details on how this is coordinated, but they're looking for volunteers to help out. The materials are all, you know, provided by Lowe's, of course. And so it's a great project for us to get that field. And of course, Beck Field has become the home of Chieftain Soccer the last couple of years. With some of the problems we're having with the playing surface in Chieftain Stadium, the Beck Field has become the field of choice for the soccer games. The football's obviously still playing at Chieftain Stadium, and I know there's been some talks between different parties on what would be the next move over at Chieftain Stadium to improve things. For those of you that don't know or haven't been out to games, when the rainy season starts to kick in, the field gets very, very sloppy. And I'm not going to get into today's show about some of the problems over there and what's causing these issues. That's a talk for another day, but nonetheless, it needs to be addressed. And there has been some discussion. I don't know how close we are to getting a solution of what to do with the field. And of course, there's, you know, if they replace the turf and replace what's under the turf is what they really need to do, because the material that was brought in originally just turns to mush every year when the rains come. But, you know, of course, there's some talk about putting in a turf field, an artificial turf field. And a lot of people are either afraid of that or they don't like the rug burns that the kids get when they play on that. So there's been a lot of discussion. If anything comes of it, of course, we'll cover it right here on Rogue Talk. But again, back to that community service project, I want to salute John, the manager at Lowe's, and Lowe's, of course, for taking on this project. And so if you can get out and volunteer, I know they'd love to have you out there. And I had one little thing, just something that I wanted to talk about a little bit. I've always been bothered by the word precedence. It gets used in a lot of things, and I think it gets overused in a lot of ways. And it came up in my daily life a couple of times this past week. And so it got me to thinking about it. And precedence in a lot of ways can be a good thing, because it continues maybe traditions, and traditions are always good, and you know, unless they involve things that are illegal or racist or you know, anything that's probably not real, you know, not a positive thing. So when things are working well and we're not offending anyone and you know, doing things maybe in a way we shouldn't be, precedence can be a real good thing. It shows us what has worked in the past, and it keeps us on track a lot of times. But too often, and I notice it in a couple of different arenas, I think it gets overused. You hear precedence quite a bit when they talk about the courts, most notably the federal courts, the Supreme Court or the appellate courts. And, you know, they use precedence, and you know, in some cases that's good, but something that sometimes they forget is, you know, the court is made up of, you know, 9 people. A decision only needs 5 of those people to be, you know, to pass or to be upheld, or the way the decision is going to go is decided by only 5 people. Well, I'm not sure that's really a good way to set a precedent. When, like in the case of right now, there's, you know, over 300 million people in the United States. And so we're going to say that the precedent set by 5 people is going to be something we're going to carry on forever. I'm not sure that's always a good idea. And there's plenty of cases in the Supreme Court where, you know, clearly that's not right. And I didn't get to a chance to research as much of these as I wanted to, but some of them that I can just remember in my mind, things like the Korematsu decision back around World War II, involving the interning of Japanese Americans, American citizens of Japanese descent. You know, that's precedent, but it's not good precedent. It's not something that we can look back on and say, well, you know, that's what the court said back then, so that's right. Well, no, it's terribly wrong, and we know it's wrong. And, you know, and I'm not going to name any more of them, because I'll mess up. I get them mixed up in my head, and I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to research any of that. And this isn't really just about the courts. The court was just an example of where I think precedence gets overused. I see it sometimes in religion. Certain people believe certain things just because that's the way it's always been. But the way that I see that is, and you know, you don't have to agree with me on this, but in a lot of cases, you have several different churches. Well, let's just say the Christian churches. You have several different Christian churches. They all think that their set of beliefs is the right one, and they'll point to the things that are wrong in the other ones. And I am definitely not in any position to tell anybody whose religion is right and whose one is wrong. But I think sometimes we use precedence of this is the way it's always been as a bit of a crutch instead of looking into these things and examining these things. You know, since I've been on this radio station, and I've said this before, and you know, so if you're listening for the first time, I'm not a, this church is, or this station is run by the local Lutheran church. And I'm not a member of the Lutheran church. I don't attend this church, but I've been listening to the station quite a bit, because I like to learn things, whether they're from a point of view that I'm familiar with or they're from another point of view. And there's plenty of cases in religion where you can point out where mistakes were made. You know, most people believe in Christian churches that are post-Reformation. Well, the Reformation, before the Reformation, everything that was being taught was precedents. It was, that would have been the precedents of the day. And of course, the Reformation came along and said, you know, hey, some of that stuff you're teaching is not right. We need to get this back to what the real gospel is. And without getting into, you know, who thinks which one is right, they said, we have to ignore some of the precedent. We have to get things back where they should be. And that's the same point I make about the court. If we use precedents as a crutch, you're really cheating yourself out of using your own mind and developing your own arguments and educating yourself. You know, it's easy to just say, well, you know, that's what the court said, or that's what I've been learning in Sunday school for 50 years. I prefer to examine these things and look at them. And, you know, I don't pretend to know what the right answer is, but I want to be educated. I don't want to just take things. You know, faith is one thing. I have faith in God, but blind faith is a whole nother thing. And you have to understand what it is that your, you know, that your beliefs are based in. If you're just taking someone else's word for it, you know, we're all fallible. We're all men. You know, Jesus was the only one that's been on this earth that was perfect. And some of you don't believe even in that, but that's what I believe in. And the rest of us are fallible, including pastors and priests and bishops and popes. They're all fallible. And God doesn't speak to us directly in a way that you can hear my voice on the radio. God speaks to us in a lot of other ways, but not in that way. So that was kind of the thing that had been on my mind, just because it came up a couple of times this week, and I thought I'd share that with you. If any of you have any thoughts about that, I'm not going to take any calls about that today because I'm out of time to devote to that. But you can email me feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. And in the subject line, put Rogue Talk. Those will be forwarded directly to me. And I'd like to know what you think about that. You know, as it relates to religion, or as it relates to the courts, or just in general, even in city government or state government. You know, if you have a thought on that, I'd love to hear about it, and maybe I'll answer those emails if I get any on next week's show. So I've rambled on a little bit too long here, so I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a couple of guests from FFA, and they're going to talk all about the FFA program at Rogue River and a fundraiser they have coming up for the month of October. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. We'll start with NFL Thursday Night Football and the Bengals. Receiver A.J. Green caught 10 per- 173 yards and a touchdown. And Cincinnati's defense clamped down on the Miami Dolphins for a 22-7 victory. The 2-2 Bengals rebound from a 29-17 home loss to Denver on Sunday. Still, Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton says they have to score more touchdowns when they're in the red zone.
We've got to score touchdowns when we get down there. We can't keep kicking field goals. And so we'll look at it. We'll look at the tape. We'll look at what we're doing and try to find a way to score touchdowns rather than settling for 3 points.
Suspended Browns receiver Josh Gordon says he's entering a rehab facility to, quote, gain full control of my life. Gordon is serving a 4-game suspension for multiple violations of the NFL's substance abuse policy. He was eligible to return next week, but the troubled 25-year-old says he won't. This is SRN Sports. AP Top 25 College Football Thursday night, Greg Ward Jr. threw for a career-high 389 yards and accounted for 5 touchdowns to help number 6 Houston beat Connecticut 42-14. Major League Baseball yesterday. In the American League, the Yankees beat Boston 5-1 but were eliminated from playoff contention. It was the Orioles over Toronto 4-0. The O's and the Jays are tied now for the wild card. Minnesota over Kansas City 7-6. Tampa Bay 5. White Sox 3. Seattle got the better of Oakland 3-2. The Tigers and Indians were rained out. In the National League, it was the Cubs and Pittsburgh playing to a 1-1 tie in 6 innings due to rain. The game will not be completed because it does not affect the playoffs. Your other winners, Nationals, Atlanta, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Cardinals. The Giants and the Cards are 1 game behind the Mets now, who are idle, playing for the wild card with 3 games to play. With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And I went a little long in that first segment, so we're going to jump right into it here. Joining me representing Rogue River FFA program. Excuse me for a second here. Get my notes in front of me here. A couple of new friends I've made. Amber Cripps and Michael Howard. Welcome to Rogue Talk.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got you here because you've got a fundraiser that's going on all month. But before we kind of dive into what that's all about, I'd like to let the listeners know a little more about what is FFA.
Yeah, of course. So FFA is a national youth-led organization that focuses on leadership and vocational skills through agriculture education.
Okay. And I did a little bit of reading, and I kind of went back on the history of FFA. And, of course, with having you and Amber here, I noticed that when it first started, it didn't involve women. And then at one point, they added women. And they also merged with I guess there was an African-American group that had started separately, and they merged with them. So it's got kind of an interesting history to it. But in more recent times, I guess it's more than just agriculture. Is that right?
Yeah, it encompasses more than just farming. Everything from timber management to leadership, public speaking, to business side of the aspect, agribusiness and all that.
Sure. Now you're the chairman or president of the chapter, the Rogue River High School chapter, and I guess you've had a change in the way the leadership works. Instead of having designated duties of the officers. Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys are all just a kind of a committee. Tell me how that works a little bit.
Yeah. So in the past, the FFA officer team was set up where there were specific duties consisting of a president, a vice president, a secretary, a reporter, a sentinel, and I'm forgetting one, a treasurer.
Sure.
So from that, we basically had designated roles for each job. We kind of went away from that this year, hoping to kind of spread out and hit more on each individual's strengths for them to work in their area of expertise to do more specific jobs that they wanted that weren't necessarily fit to those officer positions.
Sure. And I think, I forget, we were talking off air, you had a name for that. Now, remind me again how you described that. It was a...
We call that an executive committee.
There we go. That's what you had told me. And that sounded so good, better than anything I would have come up with. So, yeah, that's great. Now, so what kinds of things do you do in the club as far as I had Molly Culotta in here over the summer, and she talked about the competition that she competed in. But what are the competitions that you do, and what other activities are you involved in?
So FFA is an intercurricular program. So it is worked into our ag program at the school. FFA is separate from our actual classes. But it plays off of our classes. So basically, we take what we learn in the classroom and apply it in FFA. So we go to what we call career development events, so CDEs. And those are basically competitions where we compete with the skills we've learned in class, such as ag mechanics. We get to take everything that we've learned in our shops and go compete at the state and, if you qualify, the national level. In mechanic skills. We were really lucky last year. We got the chance to go compete at state and did really well. That was exciting for us. We took second in the state.
Wow,
so
that's
excellent. That was cool for us.
Yeah, that's good. And it looked like from what I could see from the local chapter that you guys have done pretty well in the competition. So it seems like it's probably a pretty good club. I mean, I'm probably not getting the right word there, but you guys seem to really have it on the ball. So, you know, that's a great thing. And what kinds of things do you think you're learning from being in FFA that you're going to be able to take with you on to college and then on into life?
FFA focuses a lot on leadership. That's something that's very big to us. Public speaking is a very big aspect of our program. Amber, this year was able to compete in the sophomore public speaking contest, and you took...
I actually took third place in the state of Oregon for sophomore public speaking.
Wow, so that's excellent.
That was really exciting.
Along with Molly Culotta, who took...
It was eighth in the state.
Eighth in the state this year. So that was exciting for us to have people competing at the state level.
Yeah, now if I remember right, she was doing the Creed speech, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And... what is the creed? Do you know? I shouldn't put you on the spot, but the FFA has a creed. Is that what the creed speech is kind of involved with?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, actually, so creed speaking is a competition for freshman members. The creed is a 5-paragraph statement basically about what FFA members believe. So creed speaking is competed at the district
sectional
and state levels for members. So they basically go through and memorize all 5 paragraphs and then see who can recite it the best.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So what other competitions? You mentioned the speech that you had done. What other competitions are there within, you know, the FFA competitions? I'm repeating myself.
So within FFA, I think the most diverse part of us are the competitions that we range from. So it can be anything from ag mechanics, veterinary science, public speaking, to an upcoming competition that we have, which is soil judging. So all of the things that we're learning in our classroom are applied into competitions.
So one of the cool things that we implemented last year into our program is a natural resources program. We actually have a natural resources class this year. And last year was the first year that we competed in a forestry competition. We actually got a grant for that to buy some forestry equipment and got to compete at that in the state level. And that was really cool for us to compete in a new CDE and learn a little something about that.
Yeah, that's good. And it sounds like that they're kind of keeping up with what's the most current needs in things that are related to what FFA does. So that's pretty exciting. Now, we're going to be talking about the fundraiser that you've got coming up. And I think Amber's going to tell us about that. But what other activities throughout the school year does FFA Do they participate in other fundraisers or other activities that that you guys would be involved in, other than the competitions, of course?
So throughout the year, we have various community service projects. Last year, we got to partner a little bit with Morrow Heights, our local assisted living place, and we built them planter boxes so they could have a garden that was raised up for the residents so they could work on that from their wheelchairs.
Oh, sure. Wow, that's great.
So that was a cool opportunity for us. As far as chapter fundraisers, our annual beef feed is a pretty large event in Rogue River. It's a dinner and auction, tri-tip dinner and auction, and that comes around in February. And that's one of our biggest events of the year. Last year we had about 300 people present.
Yeah, that's always a big deal here in Rogue River, and we'll definitely get somebody from your chapter back when that's coming up so we can promote that here. But although I'm not sure with my listenership how much promotion I can do, you guys are pretty well known. That beef feed is pretty popular here in town, so no, not too many people want to miss that, especially if you like to eat.
Yeah.
So, well, that's great. So why don't we get into this fundraiser that you've got coming up? You've partnered with a local Les Schwab, and I guess all the chapters partner with a different Les Schwab dealership or whatever. I'm not sure what you call that, tire shop. So tell me, what is this about?
So each year, as you mentioned, FFA chapters across the state of Oregon partner with local Les Schwab to collect food and cash donations. So what it's really about is we're trying to combat the fight against hunger by collecting food and money donations locally. So,
okay, and I guess there's an organization that this is part of, or a movement. It's called Tired of Hunger. Is that right?
Yeah, Tired of Hunger is our slogan for the whole fundraiser.
Okay.
So the fundraiser begins on October 1st and it ends on October 31st.
So from Saturday until Halloween. And so where do the donations that you collect, where do those go?
So what's really amazing about this fundraiser is that all proceeds go directly to local food banks. So any food and money that's raised locally is going to be dispersed locally.
Okay. And so you've partnered with, I believe, the Les Schwab on 6th Street in Grants Pass. Now, is that one of the places where you can donate, or is that just a partner? And there, I know there's also places here in town, and we'll get into that too.
Yeah, Les Schwab is one of the places that you can donate. They are doing their own promotions as well, along with us.
Okay, so that's a good place for, you know, that maybe we get a little more exposure than we might get with places just here in Rogue River. So that's excellent. In fact, I happen to work at that store doing their what little landscape maintenance they need. So I'll have to go in and talk to them about that. That's pretty exciting. So you mentioned it takes place for the month of October. And are there, I guess there's some businesses here in town that are partnered with you?
Yeah, so we have some cans set up in local businesses, including Ray's Food Place, the Rogue River Pharmacy, Main Building Supply, Bocce's Pizza, and Tarasco's. So if you can't make it out to the high school to make donations, all of these businesses are collecting things for us.
Okay, but you can bring stuff to the high school as well.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And so people can donate food or money. Is there other ways that people can help out with this drive?
You know, other than donations, I'm not entirely sure if they're...
When everything, when the end of the month comes around and all this is collected, then do you guys have like something planned where you pack this stuff up and take it somewhere, or what happens then?
You know, across the state, this is being ran through a Food for All grant, right?
No, this is actually, it's run through Oregon food banks.
Oh, okay.
So across the state of Oregon, ours is the Jackson County Food Bank, and that is where we will take all of the money and all of the canned food there.
Oh, okay, great. And so if anybody had any questions about this, if they wanted to find out a little more information, who would they contact or who do they call?
they should get in contact with the Rogue River FFA chapter directly, and you can do that by calling the high school at 541-582-3297.
That's perfect. So what a great opportunity to help out, you know, people in our community that are, you know, maybe struggling. And, you know, we see, of course, the food drives always get real popular right around the holidays. Mm-hmm. And we're going into the holidays, but it's kind of nice that this is actually a little earlier, a little before all of that, and probably helps them, you know, sustain for the year, because of course these food banks have to feed people year round and they get a lot of attention over the holidays, but sometimes at the other times it's a little harder to get the food they need. So yeah, what a great thing. Now, are there in other ones, and if there's nothing, just let me know, because we didn't talk about this before, but are there certain types of food the food banks are looking for at this time of year?
So a lot of it is just generally food in general, that they're looking for. But one of the cool things about this drive is the money aspect of it. The purchasing power of the food bank is tremendous compared to our purchasing power. $10 of food could actually make 30 meals from their side of stuff.
Sure, sure. So they have a lot of – their purchasing leverage is really high, and so they can – you donate money, and it goes a long, long way.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a – I mean, the food or the money, either way. But, yeah, that is a different thing you don't always see with food drives, is the ability to donate money.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, that's they can do a lot with that. So there's another way everyone can be involved with this too, I guess, is that next week, next Friday, is the homecoming parade. So explain what your involvement with the parade is.
Yeah, so we're going to have a FFA float in the homecoming parade this year, and we tried it out a little bit last year, and we got some donations of can and cash. So during the parade, which is going to be at 1 p.m. a week from today, we're going to be collecting cash and food donations from community members that are just out there watching the parade.
Okay, and I should have asked you this before, but will there be a way to donate at the game itself, too, at the football game? Will you guys be collecting donations there, or is that not something you can do?
That's not currently in the works, but that is a great idea, and we will definitely look into that possibility.
Well, I just think of it because, of course, I broadcast the football games here on the Bridge, and so, yeah, that might be a good one to set up, but I didn't want to put you on the spot there, but so you're probably the person who runs the club at the school will be giving me a phone call to chew me out for that one. But well, that's great. So was there anything else about this fundraiser you wanted to get out there about this, or did we cover it all?
I think we did a pretty good job of covering most of it.
That's mm-hmm. great. So this is a great opportunity to, you know, help out the needy, help out the hungry. And I salute you guys for being involved with this. It's been, you know, it's just, that's what this is, you know, promoting something like this is what I, you know, why I'm here on the air. This is the kind of stuff I want to get out to people. 'Cause it, you know, as a small community, you know, we need to stick together, and this is a perfect way to kind of bring the community together to support everybody. So, you know, what a great thing you guys are doing. So is there anything else about FFA you wanted to bring up today, or we'll save it for the next time? Because I believe me, I'm going to get you guys back here. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having us, for sure.
You know what? I think I'll throw in that on October 5th, we're going to be competing in our first career development event of this school year, and it's actually going to be soil judging, which all of our ag classes have been working really hard towards learning how to evaluate soil and determine what it's made out of, so that's going to be really exciting, so yeah.
So while you mentioned that, then with the soil judging, is you're judging, or when you're evaluating soil, you're looking for how good it is as far as growing in? What does that involve?
You're looking for properties within the soil, its parent material, what it's made up of, and in relation to that, drainage and feasibility for growing different crops.
Sure, sure, and I can understand that. As a landscaper, I've had to find out when you're having issues that you're not quite sure what it is. Soil testing for that can also be very helpful. A little different than what you're doing, but
yeah.
I definitely get the the part of breaking down, looking at what the soil is made up of and what conditions may be there that are either beneficial to what you're doing or not so much that, you know, so you know if you're going to plant your, you know, your corn, you don't have the wrong type of soil that corn doesn't like.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. That's, like I said, I'm learning myself at some of all the things that you guys do. And so once again, then, Amber, Michael, thank you for joining me here on Rogue Talk.
Yeah, thanks very much for having us.
So as you could see, that my two new friends here are pretty neat kids, and they're doing a great job representing FFA and representing Rogue River High School. And so thanks again for coming in. And, you know, a little thing about this, getting them in here, we took a little picture, and we had an adventure trying to share the picture. And I want to say hey to our one new listener. If you're still listening, I want to say hello. I actually don't know their name, but when I was trying to get this picture to Amber, we were having trouble getting it sent to her phone, and I accidentally put in the wrong phone number and sent the picture of Amber and Michael to some unknown person who texted me back. And I explained, well, first I said, sorry, wrong number. And then I kind of had to explain what was going on because they texted me back, and I now have a video of their daughter dancing near the TV. So it was kind of an adventure taking the picture, but I've had a blast getting to know these two. And so definitely participate in that food drive with the FFA and Les Schwab. And, you know, we were talking about soil testing. If you've been out soil testing and you tracked a little in the house, you might need a cleaning service, and I'll let you put the two together. But Rogue Talk happens to be underwritten by L&M Cleaning Service. Josephine Miguel runs that service, and her phone number is 541-621-2903, 541-621-2903, and she provides cleaning for residential and commercial. She gives free estimates. And the word I've gotten is her business has been growing and growing, and we're happy for her. And if we've been any little part of that, we're happy to do that for her. And we thank her for underwriting Rogue Talk. So once again, Rogue Talk underwriter L&M Cleaning, 541-621-2903. And we'll take another break here. We'll be back with the upcoming sports schedule. And possibly we'll talk to the Rogue Talk mascot if I can get him lined up here. It's always hard to coordinate when school lets out right in the middle of the show, but we'll see if we can get that set up. And we'll take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. An opposition monitoring group says a year of Russian airstrikes on areas outside government control in Syria have killed more than 9,000 people, displaced tens of thousands, and caused widespread destruction. Opposition activists have blamed Russia for most of the recent airstrikes against rebel-held neighborhoods in East Aleppo City that have killed more than 320 civilians, including children, in the past 2 weeks. An official says the engineer who was at the controls of a commuter train that smashed into a New Jersey station yesterday has spoken with federal investigators and is being cooperative. The official isn't saying what engineer Thomas Gallagher disclosed. One of the train's black boxes has been recovered. The other in the front hasn't been retrieved from the twisted wreckage. On Wall Street, the Dow by 165 points to 18,308. The Nasdaq rose 43. The S&P advanced 17. More details at srnnews.com.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The governor of Puerto Rico is turning over the control of his government's finances to a federal control board. He's discussing what he considers priorities during a televised address to prepare the U.S. territory for a major change. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla is urging the board to protect the pensions of retired public workers and the jobs that have been created. Some of his other priorities include making sure that Puerto Rico receives equal benefits in the Medicare and Medicaid programs. A lost claims administrator handling the 2010 BP oil spill says he expects about $520 million in seafood industry claims to be paid in the Gulf of Mexico states as early as next month. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 195 points.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am Jeff Smith, and we are moving on now to the schedule for the Rogue River High School teams. And first of all, volleyball next had three games scheduled for the next week, but you can double check with the school on this, but the last I saw, they were supposed to play New Hope on Saturday, and that's been canceled. New Hope is in a different league, and they have a league game they have to make up. So I hope I'm getting that right, but that's what I believe I read there, that Saturday's game was canceled so that New Hope could make up a league game for their league. But then later in the week, the volleyball team will be hosting Cascade Christian on Tuesday at 6:30. And then on Thursday, they'll travel to St. Mary's for a 6:15 start. So those are your games for the volleyball. And then moving on to boys soccer, they've got a couple of games scheduled between now and next Friday. Tomorrow, they'll be hosting Lakeview, 1 o'clock at Beck Field. And then on Wednesday, they will be hosting another game at Beck Field at 4:30, taking on Canyonville Christian. And now moving to girls soccer, the girls have only one game between now and next Friday, and unless that changes, that's the only one I see, and it actually is going to start right after the show today at 4 o'clock. They'll be on U.S. Cellular Field number 13, taking on Cascade Christian. And finally, in football action, a little confusion on the football schedule because this game had gotten moved to the JV schedule on the OSAA site because it was potentially going to be played as an eight-man game. And any eight-man football from the 2A level above is considered a JV game. It's not counted as a varsity game. But the last word that I got, we will be playing 11-man football tonight, 7 o'clock at Chieftain Stadium, taking on Bonanza. And Chieftains last year had a tough loss at Bonanza, and they're looking for some revenge tonight. So if get on out to Chieftain Stadium, 7 o'clock kickoff. Of course, we'll have that right here on the Bridge. We'll go on the air at 6:50. So Chieftains hosting Bonanza. And that's it for the sports schedule for this week. And now joining me on the phone, the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron Smith. Cameron, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Hello, Jeff.
You can call me Dad. I told them all you're my son. So, of course, these last couple of weeks we've been doing your football picks, and the first week you were 4-1-1. And then last week you kind of slipped a little. We picked an extra game last week, and you were 4-3. So looking for a little bounce back week.
Back.
Yeah. So let's get to those games that you're going to pick for us for this week. First game we'll pick today, if I can get my ESPN app working properly. Tonight there's a game. Number 7 Stanford is heading to number 10 Washington. Both teams are undefeated right now. Washington is favored by 3.5. Who do you got in Stanford versus Washington?
You know, looking at the way the Stanford played against UCLA, you know, they almost let it go. And not a great performance by Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. I think Washington's coming up with the upset tonight.
Well, I just got word from Mike in the truck. He's taking Stanford in that one. So you guys can go at it for that one. All right. So Cameron, you're picking Washington in that one for the
on their home field.
Yeah, at home, and they actually are the favorite. Although in rankings, it would be considered an upset because they're 10 and Stanford's 7. But the folks in Las Vegas apparently think Washington are going to eke it out. So you got Washington in that one. Let's move on to Tennessee. Number 11 Tennessee is traveling to Georgia, taking on the Bulldogs. Bulldogs with one loss. Tennessee still undefeated, and Tennessee's favored by 3.5. So who do you got in Tennessee versus Georgia?
You know, I like the Bulldogs in this one, but I got to go with Tennessee because the Bulldogs, I want them to win, but I have to pick Tennessee because they have been all defense for Georgia, but no scoring, and you got to score because they haven't been scoring, and so your defense can't hold you up for much longer, and Tennessee has starting to get their offense together. They played at some really close games, but I gotta go with Tennessee.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm sold on Tennessee yet. They've been struggling the last couple of seasons, but it looks like they're back into their better playing form. But we'll see. This will be a good bellwether for them. So mm-hmm. you're taking Tennessee in that one.
Game.
Yeah. You're taking Tennessee? Okay. So let's move on to number 8. Wisconsin is traveling to number 4, Michigan. Both teams are 4-0. Michigan is an 11-point favorite in that. What do you think about Wisconsin, Michigan?
I think Wisconsin will take it. You know, Wisconsin's already has played a big game this season, and they handle Michigan State very well. And I don't think Michigan's as good as everyone thinks they are. I think they're going to get upset by Wisconsin.
Yeah, and let's face it, we don't mind seeing Harbaugh lose once now and again, and then he starts throwing his hat around. And So looks like Mike in the truck is. Let's see what he thinks about that one. Not sure if I've got that here in front of me. I've only got 3 devices in front of me trying to keep track of all this, so we'll get back to that. So you're taking Wisconsin in the upset of Michigan.
Yep.
Of course, it won't have to be a huge upset. The Michigan's favored by 11. I think that might be a little generous, which makes your pick a little easier, but I think I agree with you. I think Wisconsin's going to go in there and upset them on their own field. So we're almost out of time. Let's pick one more game here. Let's see. How about Utah is traveling to take on Cal at Memorial Stadium. Cal is a 2-point favorite at home, but Utah's 2-0, ranked number 18, and Cal's only 2-2. Who do you think? We got about 20 seconds left.
I like Cal in this one. I like their offense. They have lost 2 games, but I think they can beat Utah. Yeah, I didn't like the way they played against USC, so I gotta go with Cal.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. They've got a pretty high flying offense. I think this one's going to be a shootout. And well, that's all the time we're going to have. Thanks for joining me, Cameron, and everyone else.
Thank you.
Be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.